know, if, by the way, if you're a millennial or you have a millennial, did you know that 73% of millennial parents believe that their parenting style is better than their parents or the past generations? Maybe we all think that, right? We look back to the past generation and say, I can do a better job. But every generation has its challenges, for sure. Dr. Randy here at Intentional Living, live today, along with Jennifer, Stephen, and Gino, and our team here at the Intentional Living Center. We're going to open the phone lines. I'll tell you what we're going to all do here together today is encourage each other, encourage some parents coming up behind you that need some encouragement with one thing that you have found intentionally doing or being in your family has helped you raise a more responsible son or daughter. What one thing do you say, hey, this has been important? Probably many things, but one thing that percolates to the surface. Give me a call. Phone line is open at 888-888-1717. First come, first serve. Let's fill up the lines and let's go. Only got 28 minutes. 888-888-1717. The Children's Hospital of Chicago have some findings on their website about parenting. As I said, 73% of millennial parents believe their parenting style is better than past generations. Interesting. 3 in 4 millennial parents practice what they call gentle parenting. Interesting. Nearly half, however, 46% of millennial parents feel burned out. Navigating a digital world, 85% believe social media creates unrealistic parenting expectations, and 1 in 4 don't double-check parenting advice from social media. 80% believe discussions with children around mental health are very important. And that's true. Work-life balance, 82% of millennial parents work. 82%. And 4 in 5 prioritize children over careers. Interesting. So it's sort of a spotlight on millennials. And of course, we're spotlight today is on all of us, you're millennial or not. What's one thing that's helped you as a parent? One thing that you do as a parent that makes a difference? Come on in. Join us. 888-888-1717. Joe, we got you up first from Arizona. What's your one thing?
One of the things that was very, very important to me for my children to understand was choices. I started when they were very, very young, where they could pick a toy and the other one would get put away. And then they gradually learned that each choice would have a consequence, good or bad. And then we continued that when they were a little bit bigger and they could do this in a high chair, pick which cereal you want for breakfast. Right. And then, do you want your eggs hard or soft? And then as they got a little bit older, they understood consequences of this choice or that choice. Sometimes it's going to be a good consequence. Sometimes it's a bad consequence. And then we added on personal responsibility. You maybe made a choice. It was not a good consequence. But now you are personally responsible for that. And I found that this worked very, very well when they got into school and they have all these other things going on that you have to make a choice. We talked about drugs and choices, just about anything that they would have to make a choice.
That's how old are they now?
My children are 50 and 52 now.
And what kind of adults did they become?
They became extremely godly adults, very godly adults, because, you know, choice goes right into your biblical teachings. And they raise their children the same way. You make a choice, you know, and then when you're old enough, you choose Jesus because it is indeed a choice.
That's right.
You need to make. But as they got older, you know, and they learned things, my daughter was in tears one time. She was sitting and talking to me that she had to make a choice when she was in high school to let a friend go because he became involved in drugs, and it broke her heart. But I told her that I was very proud that she made that choice because you are known by the company you keep, and he's going to go down a very hard road. You don't want to follow him there.
Well, that's absolutely right. Hey, Joe, thank you. 50-year-old kids, and yet you look back and say, we wanted to teach them to learn to be responsible, make choices, and then be responsible. One of the first laws of intentional living is that you and I are 100%, not 98%, not 90%, 100% responsible for the choices that we make. Now you may say, well, wait a minute, but I'm married to this person, or I've got this job that I don't like, or the neighbor's driving me nuts, whatever it is, but you still make a choice of how you're choosing to respond to or within that relationship or that situation in your life, having to do with money or your health or your faith or whatever. It's a choice you make. And so teaching kids to learn to make better choices, boy, it's right at the top of the list of what we try to do in our conferences and the work that we do with parents through intentional living. All right, let's continue on here. Dana's on the line in Arizona. Hi, Dana. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Good. What's your one thing that you want to pass along on parenting?
I just want to say my parents, bless their hearts, did the best they could, but they did not encourage me to go to school. My mother kept me home to take care of her, to take care of the house. But I raised my girls that it is important to get an education. It will take you far in life. And I've just seen kids today just want to drop out of school and don't understand the importance of getting a good education. So I would like to encourage some people coming up to encourage your kids to go to school. It's the one job that they have. Other than chores, I'm sure, but yeah, their job is to get a good education.
I agree with that. What would you have liked to have done as far as more education for yourself, Dana?
I would like for my mother not to pull me out of school in eighth grade.
Oh.
And not let me just flounder taking. I became a nurse and I did succeed, but it was hard. It was hard not having that back education, and I had to get a GED, and not that that wasn't a good thing, but I just encourage children to learn. The more they learn from school and to get out there and discover what they want to do for a career,
yeah,
I think that's important as parents to instill that in a child.
That's right. But I bet if I were to ask your kids, Dana, they would say, hey, my mom got an eighth grade education. Her mom didn't encourage her to keep on. Yeah, she came back, got a GED, went on to become a nurse. I bet you they're awful proud of mom and what you overcame, as it were, and what you chose to do, as even though you had the handicap of getting started with an eighth grade education, you did some amazing things. I mean, people listening must be saying, like me, congratulations.
Well, thank you. And I did. And I do pat myself, but it was hard.
Yeah.
It was hard. It's still hard to these days. And as you get older, it's harder to learn. Things don't come as easy as I think they probably could have if I had the opportunity to do it when I was younger.
Yeah. Good reminder. I get older, everything is harder. Getting my shoes on is harder. They're way down there. Is there any way I could get that closer? All right. Thank you, Dana. But listen, she gave you some wise advice, parents. Encourage your kids to get a good education. And today, if they can get a godly education, all the better. You know, to be in a place where they're going to have supportive, encouraging people, the kind of people that you want investing in the lives of your children. So picking carefully and being an intentional parent is a huge thing. Let's take a break. We'll be back. Hey, we're talking about really intentional parenting today, and I'm just opening up and saying, come on in. Just like Dana has shared, and Jeanette coming up next, and Joe and many others, telling us one thing that's made a difference or they're making a difference in their life as a parent. What is it in the life of your children? Join us, 888-888-1717.
This is Intentional Living with your host, Dr. Randy Carlson. Intentional Living is furnished by Parent Talk Incorporated and is made possible by the generous support of our listeners just like you. This program is not a substitute for professional counseling, medical, financial, or legal advice. Intentional Living is not intended to be therapy by radio, but it is intended to help you live an intentional life in Jesus Christ.
Yes, I'd like to thank you for the goodness that you brought into my life, and I am subscribing to Intentional Living. The whole program is based on Christ, and I think it's a great systematic way in order to help people order their lives in Jesus. And I think that's the integral message, is Jesus Christ. God bless and have a good day.
Hey, listen, we're glad to be doing this every day. It's a lot of fun, and we enjoy it, an opportunity to just be in fellowship, take the journey as we go through life together, deciding that, hey, you know, living a little more intentionally than the next person or than maybe we did yesterday seems like a pretty smart idea to me. And when it's in Christ, even more so. Because you know what? You can be intentional. Here's a fact. People who are successful at good or bad things tend to be intentional. Some people are intentionally bad. Not stupid, but they're intentionally bad. Okay? And they're more likely to be successful at being bad because they're being intentional at it. And intentionality is not just for those of us who are Christians, but for those of us who are believers, we're commanded to be intentional. I mean, we don't, that word you may not find, but boy, we are taught throughout Scripture, seek and ye shall find. Paul saying, forgetting what's behind, I press toward the goal. Even Jesus talked about, you know, how he was on his way to the cross. That was his, he knew why he was here. And he came and he gave his life for you and me. He was very intentional about it. He didn't get squirrel-like and take off on some other project. He stayed focused on what God had called him, his Father, to do and why he was here. And we see that throughout Scripture. Think about Nehemiah and building the wall, how intentional he was in the Old Testament, and Moses and Noah building that boat in a time when there was no rain for 100 years, and he's building a boat, and people are wondering, what in the world? And yet he remained, can you imagine? What is this guy doing? And yet he remained very intentional. And so today, the question is, how are we being intentional with one thing in our family, our kids? That's why we do shows like this. Come and join us. What's your one thing that's made a difference? 888-888-1717. Jeanette in Michigan. Hi, Jeanette. How are you?
Fine, thank you.
Appreciate your call. What's your one thing for parents?
I'd have to say we taught our children to respect us.
That's important, isn't it? It says here you also got them involved in church.
Yeah, we did. From the time we were in church, so they were in church also. So they had friends that were in church and youth group growing up. That was very important because the friends that were in the world were, it was a mess, you know, for them. So we kept them involved and brought them to the Lord at a very young age and raised them in faith. And we respected them. They had to respect us, and we listened to them and respected them. We taught them to look at every side of something. There's always two sides. They turned out to be wonderful adult, responsible adults.
That's good.
And they're wonderful parents now. They're following in our footsteps. You know, they discipline their children, give them borders, you know, right. and yet listen to them and let them be themselves. You know, not try to conform them to something. I mean, not religious, but the love of Jesus.
Oh, amen. That's good. Hey, listen, Jeanette reminds us, listen, we demand respect from our kids, and many times we don't give them any respect. Come on. We're going to get back what we give. And if you want to have children that grow up to be respectful of them. You're still the parent, but your job is to raise your kids, train them up. I mean, that's what the Bible says. But at the same time, to learn to be respectful in that process. Listen to them. Apologize when you're wrong. Correct when you need to. Hold them accountable. Be consistent. These are the things that we do lovingly because you know what? You're the only person that has that title parent for your kids, all right? Yeah, friend. Have a lot of friend in life. That's good. But you're the parent, and that's a different title. And frankly, a different job description sometimes. All right, Gina is in Georgia. Hi, Gina. How are you?
I'm good. How are you doing?
Good. How are things in Georgia today?
Oh, they're beautifully sunny, about 82 degrees, low humidity, so loving the day.
Great. Fantastic. All right, glad you called. Tell us your one thing for parenting.
Well, there's actually two things that my mom and my grandmother both instilled in me, and I tried to pass that on to my children and my grandchildren. One is anything worth doing is worth doing right.
Yep.
And the other one is if you can't say anything nice, don't say anything at all. Be respectful to whoever it may be, regardless of the circumstance.
Yeah.
And my children are 36 and 38, and they have an awesome work ethic, and I think it's because that generational thing that was passed down from grandmother to mother to, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I remind my grandchildren all the time, you know, teenagers can sometimes be kind of catty and can't say anything nice and just don't say anything at
That's
all.
That's right. Wasn't that out of the Bambi movie? Was that the Bambi movie? If you can't say anything nice, don't say anything at all.
I think that was Thumper, yes. I think
that was Thumper,
right.
In the Bambi movie, which had a terrible, and that was just awful, the way that turned out. But anyway, that's another story. But that's true. Learning to, helping our kids to understand they're responsible for what comes out of their mouth.
Yeah, and once you say it, you can't take it back.
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, you know, you just can't. Once it's said, you can never take back those hurtful words. You can apologize and sincerely mean that apology, but you just can't reverse what you say. So it's a thing that I've got grandchildren that are teenagers now, and that comes out of my mouth quite often.
Yeah, very good. Good wisdom. All right, that's Georgia wisdom there. Thank you, Gina, for your call from Georgia. Beautiful Georgia. Great state. I love Georgia. Thank you for calling. Today, we're talking live from our Intentional Living studios, along with Jennifer, and you're a mom. Thinking about one thing, Jennifer?
Responsibility and accountability. Mm-hmm. Instead of making excuses, you know, oh, the dog ate my homework, that's why I didn't do it, or, you know.
Do kids ever actually say that?
I don't know.
Is there a teacher that could call and say, I had a kid come in and say, my dog ate my homework, but I get what you're saying.
Yeah. So it's just, blaming or making excuses as to why things didn't get done and whatnot. It just didn't fly in my house.
Yeah.
And if she tried, you know, I'd say, no, you didn't do it. You're responsible. You're the one who has to now suffer the consequences. And so she learned that lesson pretty quick.
You sound like one of those mean moms.
I was a strict mom. Mean, she probably thought I was mean. But she's an upstanding young lady.
Yeah,
very proud of her.
I know you are. You know, we live in a culture today, and it's a time when it's unfortunate that too many families in our system just doesn't hold people accountable, you know. And I understand grace. I understand mercy. And that's certainly a part of how we're to live our lives. But also, we're not teaching people to be accountable unless we hold them accountable. And in the process to train and teach. That's a message for young parents. This is what's coming through. We got some older parents, those of us who raised kids and maybe have grandkids now, look back and say, hey, these are some of the things that are important. Education, raising them to respect the Lord and be involved in church and learning to respect parents, learning them to do things right. And if it's worth doing it right. These are all the important things. All right, let me go to Bill in New Mexico. Hey, Bill, how you doing?
Hey, I'm doing fine. How you doing?
Good. What about one thing for parenting?
Well, I think there's two good things that I did as a parent. The first one was when all my children got in first grade, I paid them $1 for each book that they read, because first grade to me was just a reading contest for all kids. And if you get your children to love reading, they can start self-educating. The second thing that I did was when they got to sixth grade, every child of mine, all three, they were signed up at 11 years old in sixth grade to start taking their SATs three times a year, because if you take the same test over and over again, you ought to get pretty good at it. And I didn't have to pay it for college.
Wow. So they all did well when it really counted later on? Did they do well on the SATs?
Yes. I mean, excuse me, my oldest, I'll put it this way. My oldest was the academic honors freshman at University of North Carolina in Chapel Hill. She turned down Duke, Southern Cal, Miami, Georgetown, Harvard. She could have gone any place she wanted, because when the children first off, when you go in there with your children when they're 11 years old in the high school cafeteria and all the high schoolers are taking SATs and they're looking at your little kid there who's 11, they're scratching their heads wondering what's going on, but your kid's going to get the strength of competing against kids twice their age.
What are your kids doing now? They're all adults. What do they do? What kind of lives do they have?
Okay. The oldest is in her third position as a director for Clorox Corporation.
Yeah. Well.
She's a, she,
Okay, she was marketing, then she was sales. Now they're trying to develop new revenue streams. Her little brother, who's turning 35, is the senior enterprise executive for Citrix Software. He's been that since he was 32, because he was the only salesman out of their 500-plus salespeople in his rookie year. He made the top 10. But the little sister she's a pediatric nurse.
Well, we got some high achievers here and a proud dad. High achievers and proud dads.
If they don't set the bar high, they're not going to try to get to it.
That's true. Three SATs a year. I mean, by the time you get there, you'd have it memorized, right? I don't know. And then what are they doing now today? Is that, did I read the other day that to make everything fair, some of the institutions are throwing out some of these pre-exams, these SATs and ACTs and others. I don't know, but that's what I was hearing. But I'll tell you what, if you want to give your kids a real gift, you're getting some great advice today. I don't know about taking SATs three times a year, but I do know this, helping them learn to read and write is going to put them way up. Getting a good education, following through, being responsible, and of course, most importantly, for those of us who are Christians, that they're getting biblical training, understanding God's intentional love for them, and seeing it in your home, seeing it in your life, seeing it in your relationships. That's powerful. All right, Bill, congratulations. You get a good dad award today. All right. I tell you what, let's take another break. The phone lines are reopened. Here's what we're going to do. We're wrapping up here in about 5 minutes or so, but we're going to continue to record those of you who are calling, because I'd like to share some of these tomorrow on the show. So here's the deal. We got young parents listening. What's one thing that you have found to be important, intentional in raising your kids? I mean, there's 100 things perhaps, but what's one thing that percolates to the surface? Doing things right, getting involved in church. Education's come up a couple times right now. What is it for you? Give us a call, 888-888-1717.
I have two small children, and so listening to what people call in about, it makes it very relatable to know that you're not going through it alone.
Intentional Living helps moms like Sarah live an intentional life for Christ. And now you can access many of Dr. Randy's exclusive teachings on various topics whenever you want. With your monthly gift to Intentional Living, you'll be a part of a special group that gets unlimited access to Dr. Randy's exclusive monthly teachings from the past 2 years. So don't wait. Give now, and you'll get access to these life-changing resources by calling 888-888-1717 today or visiting theintentionallife.com. That's theintentionallife.com.
This is Kathy. As parents, teach your children to be sure and pray and ask God for guidance and direction and protection and to fill them with His Holy Spirit and His wisdom. And as caregivers of God's child, ask them to pray also for the same thing for themselves and for their children.
Hey, thank you for sharing that, Kathy. Appreciate it. We love your stories. By the way, when you leave them on our storyline after the show and overnight and whenever, we get a chance to listen to them and put some of your thoughts on whatever the topic is that you're wrestling with or you're learning about when it comes to living intentionally. And we get to share them on the air. So we certainly would love to hear from you as well. If you want to call, the lines are getting busy again. We got one line open at 888-888-1717. And we're going to continue to be here in the studio and record these for the next half hour and share them tomorrow on the show. Love to have you be a part of it. Again, as you call, 888-888-1717 is the number. All right, Connie, what's your one thing from Arizona?
Honestly, there are so many good words that I've heard this morning already, and it's really hard sometimes with the busyness of our world to focus on one thing. Mm-hmm. But the one thing I think I didn't even really focus on it as much as my children saw me do it, and they value hard work. Yeah. They find it very rare in their generation, actually, to value that hard work or to find it. I know that there are times when we don't work hard, we allow the Lord to just move and do what He's going to do. But hard work can be something that builds our character, that you know, brings us perseverance through hard times. And I think Colossians 3:23 is the one that says that whatever you do it with your whole heart.
Yeah.
And that's definitely something my kids have picked up for me, and I've seen them just care for other people and just work hard at whatever they're doing.
Listen, when you do that, you can look back and say, you know, I did the best I can, and I thank God for the outcome. That's great. All right, I think we have time for Ashley. She is on line one from Florida. Hi, Ashley. How are you?
Hello, I'm good.
Good. What's your one thing?
We eat dinner together every night.
That's good. You know, that used to be sort of the standard for families, and now it's not so much with all the distractions. What difference has that made to you and your family?
It makes an incredible difference because our kids, you know, they go to school. I have five younger children, but we do a devotion every night. And then we ask, what's your favorite thing for the day, your high? And what was the least favorite thing that you didn't like so much during the day? And it just allows them the opportunity to share their hearts and share what's going on in their lives.
Yeah, so you shut off all the media stuff and just really spend the time with what? You have five kids, you said?
Five kids, yeah.
Five kids, all right. And do they all sort of jump in and participate? Is it sort of an open time? Kids love doing that?
Yes. Yep, they do.
That's good. All right, what's for dinner tonight?
We are having barbecue chicken with corn.
All right, I'll be there. I don't know how I'm going to get to Florida in time, but that sounds pretty good, doesn't it, Jennifer? I love that. I love corn and fried chicken. Sounds good. All right, I'll tell you what, we are out of time. We're wrapping up the show live, but we're just going to continue to roll. As we used to say, roll the tape, and we'll record you all who are standing by or those who want to call and share your one thing. We'll lay those down and put them on the show tomorrow. So what's one thing or you've learned as a parent or grandparent that you want to pass along to others? This is Intentional Living, and you know what we are all about? We want to help you figure out and experience life as God intended. We want you to experience life the way God intended for you to experience it. And today, as a parent, what is God's intention for parenting? You heard a lot of it already today, but remember what the scripture says, train up a child in the way they should go, for when they are old, they will not depart from it. Finding out their unique bent, building into their life, and helping put them on a trajectory that'll make a difference not only for a lifetime, but for all of eternity. And that's something that we have a responsibility for. Got to run. We'll be back again tomorrow with those calls. Love to have you join us. I'm Dr. Randy for our entire team. And this is Intentional Living, a ministry of family, of Intentional Life Media.